Welcome to the Dating After Divorce podcast. I'm your host, Shade Curry, and I believe every divorced woman deserves a romantic relationship where she feels safe, loved, and cherished. You can create the most amazing life after divorce, and I will teach you how. Hello, ladies. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 7, and I am talking about how to fix your man picker. But before we dive in, just a little update on me and what's been going on. I have had an amazing February. Like, it has been the best month. So we launched the podcast on February 2nd, and as of March the 1st, we have over 600 downloads. Like, I am not even able to comprehend how amazing this is. I thought we would have 100 downloads in the first month, but we have over 600. I think it's like 634 or something like that, which means about 23 downloads a day in the last 25 to 26 days of February. And that is just amazing and heartwarming. And I just want to thank every single one of you who has given this podcast your time and attention. I really appreciate it. I feel so connected to you guys. I am glad this message is resonating with you, that those of us who have been divorced are fully able to live the lives that we want after divorce, that there is so much abundance available to us. There is so much, we can bring our visions to life. We can have second chances at everything we left behind in the divorce. So I hope that this is the message you are getting from all of these episodes. And I am going to continue to bring it every week on the podcast. In fact, I'll let you in on a little thing that I have coming. Now, when I say coming, I mean like coming in like 6 months to a year. But I have started working on my book. So I know I've written a lot of posts on social media. I tell my stories on this podcast. I tell my stories to my clients and to all the people who are in communication with me, whether it's by email or on social media. But I have actually started working with a coach to write the full story of my divorce. Like, guys, this is a big deal. Like, we are working through my entire story, the marriage, the divorce. We're leaving no stone unturned to really bring the best part of my story. And when I say best, which is like the parts that will be of most value and most helpful to anyone who reads it, we are like examining everything that happened and working together to develop the story for this book. So that those are our previews of coming attractions. And with that, let's dive into how to fix your man picker. All right. Now, when you've been divorced, and if you've been divorced and you're like me, one of the first things I said was, I am never getting married again. Like, that was awful. That was a terrible experience. I am not doing that again. Because the last thing you want to do is head into another marriage with the wrong person. And a lot of divorced people say this as well. And I totally get it. Like, when you're still raw and in pain and still healing, like, you can't see anything but all of that pain. Like, the whole world looks like pain, right? It feels like the pain is going to be permanent. It feels like the pain of the divorce is so pervasive that it touches every part of life. It feels personal, like now that pain is just a part of you and this is the way life is going to be forever. But as you start to heal, you know, and do the work of healing, things start to look a little bit better and you start to consider potentially getting into a new relationship, getting back out there and dating again. And that's when all the fear is setting. Like, what if I do marry the wrong person again, right? And, you know, anyone will tell you that it's far, far better to stay single than to marry the wrong person, especially when you know how bad it can be with the wrong person. Well, the message I want to bring today is that while it is horrible to get divorced again, it's horrible to be to marry a narcissist again or marry a jerk again, and it's far better to stay single. What's even better than hiding away and staying single out of fear of marrying the wrong person? What's even better than that is fixing the root problem so that all of your relationships become healthier and safe. Not just your romantic relationships, but all of the relationships in your life become healthy. And then if you do want a new romantic relationship, you have the confidence to know that you can do it 100% right. Like, you know exactly how to pick the right person. You know exactly how to connect with yourself and know what you want. It's so much better to do that. Even if you never get into another relationship again, knowing that you've dealt with all of your blind spots from the past, with all of your issues from the past, that gives you a lot of confidence. That gives you a sense of being able to trust yourself to keep yourself safe in the world. And so this episode is really centered around not hiding away from the fact that you got it wrong the first time, and not just staying in that place of limbo, being paralyzed at the thought of doing it wrong again, but really moving forward and learning what you need to learn to do it right this time. So the questions that I've gotten from women usually center around, listen, they say, I have been dating and I just seem to keep picking the wrong kind of guy. All of these guys just seem to be the wrong type of man. Or I spent 5 months in a relationship with a guy and he turned out to be a narcissist. He turned out to be a jerk. He just wanted to use me for my money, or he just wanted to use me for my body, or whatever it is, right? And so they start to say, well, my man picker is broken. My ability to pick a guy is broken. My radar is broken. I can't do it. Or I just keep picking narcissists. Or how will I know if a guy is a narcissist? Like, what are all the red flags? Or he checked off, you know, all of the green flags and he was still the wrong person for me. Or I also hear things like, I keep attracting toxic guys. I keep attracting the wrong guy. Many women won't date online because they're like, listen, I've gone online and it just looks like all scammers. The whole environment of an online dating platform is completely toxic and I'm not going to do it. So all of these fears come together to really create a dating experience that is not fun, right? It's just full of fear. It's full of anxiety. It's full of worry about not doing it right. And what I want to say is that the dating app doesn't keep you safe, right? Many of us who got divorced met our ex-husbands in environments that we thought were safe, right? I have been in communities of thousands of women who are Christians, who got married to men they thought were Christians, that they met in church, right? Where they went through premarital counseling with a pastor, where they had the same circle of friends. So my ex and I had the same circle of friends in college. Like, there was no reason to think that this person would turn out to be the wrong person, right? So one of the first things I want to talk about is the fact that you have to create safety for yourself. The environment that you meet a person in is not going to create safety for you. The world is not going to create safety for you. You could meet another good guy, quote unquote, good guy in church, right? And think that he's safe, but it's not the fact that you meet him in church that makes him safe. Or you could meet someone who was introduced to you by a friend that you trust, but it's not the fact that they were introduced to you by a friend that you trust that creates safety for you. Part of really growing up into a full self-governing adult is to understand how to create safety for yourself, to understand human nature, to understand what human beings are really like, and not necessarily in a negative way, not because you're trying to like make everyone out to be bad or you're trying to judge everyone, but it's really just from a neutral play saying human beings are capable of this kind of behavior. They're capable of good and they're capable of evil. And it's up to me to know the difference and to understand how to evaluate the people that I bring into my life. So if you see yourself falling for every man who says a kind word to you, which that is a phenomenon that happens right after a divorce, especially if you were married to an emotionally unavailable guy, or you were married to a person who was very toxic or abusive, the first guy who says hello with a smile to you is like, oh my God, just let's ride off into the sunset. Right? If you find yourself just falling for everyone that comes your way, or if you find yourself dating unreliable men or dating people for a long time only to find out they were not looking for a commitment, what you want to do is take a step back and say, there's something about my process that isn't working. There's something about how I'm evaluating people that isn't working. It's not that everyone is toxic. It's that you're spending way too much time not seeing toxic people for who they are. You're spending way too much time not seeing non-committal men for who they are. And the problem with not dealing with this root issue of the way you evaluate people is that the toxic relationships or the relationships where the person is unreliable or unfaithful starts to happen over and over again. And it can send you the message that something is wrong with you. Or it may send you the message that if you keep dating, you're eventually going to commit to one of these quote unquote wrong guys that you keep dating. So on the one hand, I do want to say it is 100% valid to be super careful about who you bring into your life. Like, I tell all of my clients that they should always consider themselves the crown jewels. Like, listen, you are the crown jewels. You like deserve to only be handled and to only be around people that are 100% trustworthy, people who will respect you, who will care for you, who will keep you, you know, who will like value who you really are, and who will value your children or your family or your, you know, your wealth. Whatever it is you are bringing to the table, the person has deep respect and honor for who you are, right? So when I say you need to keep yourself safe, this is what I'm talking about. It really does start with understanding how valuable you are as a human being and knowing that anyone that comes near you, anyone who's going to be in your life, anyone who's going to meet your children needs to be 100% trustworthy. And so you want to, and I know that this is what you want as well, is to be safe, right? You want to keep yourself safe. What you don't want to do is to go all the way to the other extreme where you keep yourself safe by hiding away. You keep yourself safe by not putting yourself out there, by not meeting new people, by not dating again, even though you want a relationship. The balance here is that you step out and put yourself out there, but you know how to create safety. You use your past experiences not as a reason to build a wall around you and not put yourself out there again. You use your past experiences going through a divorce as a catalyst to motivate you to learn, to grow, to fix what you did the wrong wrong the first time, and have the determination to evolve as a human being and transform so that you can be 100% confident in your ability to choose a good man. When you create safety for yourself, you can date in any area. You can date online, you can date offline, and you will know that you won't make a choice that will be harmful for you. So I'll talk a little bit about my own experience with creating safety for myself. So my first marriage, I've talked about this a little bit, was just extremely unhealthy, very toxic in many ways. And I actually met my ex-husband in college in a Christian community. So in my mind, he was a Christian and he had all the markers of being a Christian, at least that I was using at the time. And, you know, everything seemed great. I had come from somewhat dysfunctional childhood. My parents were divorced. There was a lot of drama around that. And in comparing him with the men in my life as I grew up, he seemed more ideal than they were. Like if I were to say on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being, you know, the person that you actually want to be with and have a healthy relationship, you know, you could say my the men in my life prior to that were maybe 3, right? And then my ex-husband turned out to be a 4. So I was just comparing 3 and 4, right? And 4 was more than 3. So it looked good. I was like, I am good to go. But you don't know what you don't know. What I didn't know was that I was really on a journey to find a person who was a 9 or a 10. I didn't realize that 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 existed at all. So after the divorce, I really took inventory of not just my childhood relationships, but my divorce, but also all the relationships in between, the people that I dated in between, and I really took a look at those men and identified all the common threads. Like, what was going on here? Why did I pick these people? Right? Like, I was an engineering major in college, so if it was in terms of like the number of guys that were available for me to choose from, there were plenty. How did I, in a sea of men, single men, because everyone in college is basically single, how did I end up choosing a person who fell into this pattern that I had experienced my whole life, right? And so I did that personal inventory, and I identified what my blind spots were. I identified what my brain thought was beneficial to me in choosing this kind of people. And one of the things that created a blind spot for me, and I'll just tell you, was that I chose a partner somewhat out of self-doubt. Like, I knew I had all these big dreams, I knew I had all these things I wanted to do, but I had a lot of self-doubt around my ability to really achieve them, right? And so I chose someone that I thought, okay, could make up for my self-doubt and help me with the things that I wanted to do, which now looking back was not a healthy reason for choosing a partner. Now, of course, that did not justify the toxic behavior or all of the things that were done in the marriage. However, this is not about like bashing the other person. That's not helpful. Right? When you're going on this journey as the second time around, focusing on the other person and what they did wrong really doesn't help you grow. It doesn't help you do better the next time. What really helps is sitting with yourself and asking yourself how you got to where you did and fixing whatever those blind spots were. So that was just one of the blind spots that I identified in my choice of a partner the first time. So having done all of that work, which I now do with my clients as well, like we go deep into their past relationships and their motivations, their attachment styles, et cetera, before they start to choose again. After doing all of that work, I also did what I refer to as relationship audits. Like, I audited not just my romantic relationships, I audited my friendships. Right, I audited the people that I was hanging out with after the divorce, just to really apply the same principles to all of my relationships so that I could have a more healthy environment around myself. And I'm going to recommend a book that I read at that time, which I think is an excellent book if you are divorced and you're going through like this chaotic period where like all of your relationships are in flux. This is an excellent book to read. It's called Safe People: How to Find the Relationships That Are Good for You and Avoid Those That Aren't. And it's by the doctors Henry Cloud and John Townsend. They're the same guys who wrote the book Boundaries. And this book helped me so much. Every Sunday night, I would sit down and write down all of the people who were in my life and ask myself, really, do I still want to be in relationship with these people? What were my interactions with them like? What was my experience of them like? How did I want to show up in those relationships? And as I did that, along with all of my other healing and growth work, I began to get a lot of clarity around my relationships. I began to get a lot of clarity around what I wanted in a romantic relationship. And I began to really develop the confidence to make decisions around relationships that were in my life and the relationships I didn't want to have in my life. And I call that having emotional independence, right? I began to realize that I could achieve anything I wanted on my own and that I didn't need to choose a person to make up for my deficiencies. Like, I fixed my own deficiencies so that I could become a whole person. And then all I needed to do was choose the person that I was going to be with, just because I wanted to be with them, just because I wanted to spend time with them, just because I wanted to enjoy them, and not because they needed to do anything for me. And so that's how, coming full circle, having chosen my first spouse partially because of self-doubt, I worked through that self-doubt the second time around so that it wasn't creating blind spots for me when I chose my new partner. So I hope that's kind of like an example of how working through your first marriage can really help you choose better the second time around. So now I'm just going to give you like a list of, I believe it is, four things that you can do to fix your man picker, to set yourself up to choose right the second or third time around. So, number one, understand that falling in love isn't something that just happens to you out of nowhere, right? A lot of women that I talk to feel somewhat helpless when it comes to who they fall in love with. It's like, well, but I feel so connected to him. I feel like I've fallen in love with him, right? And they have all of these emotions. And so they feel like they don't have the ability to choose the person. It's almost like the relationship chooses them rather than them choosing that person. So you can learn the skill of controlling how you fall in love. Like, you don't have to be a victim of Cupid just kind of landing on you. And an example would be, I believe I heard this one from my coach, is if you met a guy and he was like, oh my God, he was a 10 out of a 10. He was whatever is on your list, but I'll just list off the a few random ones. Let's say he's rich and he's handsome and he's fit and he's active and he seems so nice and he seems super interested in you. And, you know, he does all the right things. He gets your door. He pays for dinner. He reads the same books that you do. He makes you laugh, right? And you're dating him for a week and it's like, oh my God, this is the guy. And then somehow you find out that, oh, he's a serial killer.
Do you wonder exactly how divorced women just like you are meeting eligible men who want a real relationship and a commitment? They're doing it by dating with their core values. Your core values are the GPS that lead you to the partner you've been looking for. When you use your core values on dating apps, text messages, and at social events, you will easily connect with your true match partner without chasing, settling, or wasting time with non-committal men. I have taught exactly how to do this in the 2-hour Core Values Dating Blueprint course available on my website, shadecurry.com/dating. That's shadecurry.com/dating. You will learn exactly how to identify your core values and use them on your dating profile, how to ask the right questions via text, and how to tell the right stories on dates, so that you attract the right people and repel those who aren't right for you. If you're ready to meet your true match, hop over to shadecurry.com/dating or click the link in the show notes. Now back to the episode.
Like, the minute you learn that, like, all those feelings will fly 100% out the window. Why? Because now you have this information about this person that immediately crushes any other attachment feelings you had, that crushes any love you had or any connection you had with this person, because that is just so repulsive and you'll be afraid for your life. So that's an extreme example, but I say that to show you how in control you really are of your process of falling in love. When you fall in love and you feel helpless, it's because you are not thinking all the thoughts that you need to think in that moment to keep yourself on an even keel in that relationship. So one of the reasons your man picker may be broken is because you're just falling in love, right? Because you're thinking all of these thoughts about the person that keep you in love, but you're not thinking all the other thoughts you need to think, either to slow down the love until you have all the information you need, or to even not fall in love at all until you are ready. So this kind of this skill is something that you can learn to do, right? You can go out and create connections and be fun and flirty, but you can also keep your logical brain in gear. You can keep your clear head while you're evaluating each man, right? While you're saying, okay, what do I see any red flags? Do I see any deal breakers? And you can listen to your intuition, right, in an informed way, not just like random intuition, but like in an informed way, like this is the information that I have intentionally decided is going to be how I evaluate the person. And then I'm also listening to what's going on with me. How am I feeling? What am I thinking? What's really happening? So this entire step is about taking charge of your brain, not letting it run away and jump on the fall in love train, but intentionally deciding when you have established the time and the space to fall in love with a person and to decide that, okay, based on what I know now, based on understanding what's safe for me, what I want to fall in love with this person. So that's number one. Number two is learn what a safe and healthy relationship looks like. You have to get super clear on what a healthy relationship looks like ahead of time. Ahead of time, like before you start dating. Because every relationship could potentially present itself as being healthy because you want to be in a relationship. So like I mentioned, the book Safe People, I highly recommend you go out and get that book and read it. I walk my clients through a relationship audit and we go deep. We have categories for all the people in their lives. They learn 100% how to use specific criteria to organize the people in their lives, decide whether they're safe and or unsafe, and decide how they want to show up or not show up for those relationships. So learning what safe and healthy relationships look like will really help you make decisions about who to date and who not to date. The third thing to do is to look at your family of origin, right? Growing up, you had a what I would call a default imprint, like a default emotional imprint of what relationships look like. So an example is, and this has happened like with multiple clients that I've had, is a client who said like she kept ending up with men who like did not want to be faithful, right? They would either cheat or they would want to, you know, have her be exclusive with them, but then they wouldn't be exclusive with her and they would hide that they were seeing other people or they would cheat. And it was just like not great. And after diving into her history, it showed up pretty quickly that her father had been emotionally unavailable to her as a child and had also cheated on her mother. Right. And so what was happening with her is what is called repetition compulsion. She was subconsciously choosing men who reminded her of her dad and reenacting that scenario over and over again. And this is so common. Like we all do this. It's a cliche that, you know, men marry their mothers and women marry their fathers. But there's a reason that cliche exists, because people really do this. It's so common. So knowing this, like you really want to sit down and say, okay, am I repeating my childhood scenarios? Am I repeating my parents' marriage? Or did I repeat my parents' marriage in my first marriage? If I did, then I need to change that emotional imprint before I pick the next person. Sometimes you have to look at your history and ask yourself if you've had extensive exposure to healthy relationships. If you've had more exposure to unhealthy relationships than you have to healthy relationships, then there is a high probability that you're going to repeat unhealthy interactions over and over again. And this can even show up in small ways. Like I have, you know, observed women, you know, texting on an app, and a guy will exhibit a behavior that's disrespectful or unkind. And instead of saying, oh, this isn't great, I'm moving on, these women will like stay on the app, basically schooling these men on how to be respectful, schooling these men on how to not send pictures of their private parts or whatever. Like literally, you should move on. But that compulsion to fix, the compulsion to school, right? Or the compulsion to paint over the negative behavior of a person that her mother probably exhibited in her childhood compels her to stay there in that space with that man, going back and forth with him over text about what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. A healthy person who had healthy boundaries would maybe experience that and immediately be like, yeah, this isn't for me. I'm going to move on. So even little things like that can be markers for repetition compulsion, not to speak of actually dating a person who is unhealthy for a long period of time. So now the fourth thing that you want to do to fix your man picker is to be super clear on what you're looking for and develop the confidence to not settle. My clients and I work on what we call the ideal partner deep dive, and they are super clear on what they are looking for. Like we have lots of conversations about what they're looking for, where by the time we're done, that guy walking through the door, they could pick him right out of a cloud, of a crowd. And the reason that's important is because your brain will always want to sneak back into its comfort zone. Like now you've gotten the brain out of the comfort zone. You've gotten it to go to a speed dating event. You've gotten it to go on a blind date with this person that you were introduced to, or you've gotten it to go on an app. Your brain doesn't want to do any of that work. It's like, no, this is too hard. This is annoying. This is a lot of trouble. I don't want to do it. So its next tactic will be like the next person who looks like they're even marginally decent, your brain will be like, this is the one, let's pick him, let's take him home so we can get right back into our comfort zone. But part of keeping yourself safe and choosing the right guy is to learn how to stay in neutral gear even as you date people, so that you take every relationship or every potential relationship through all of the milestones that you've established until you are 100% sure that the person is right for you, and resisting the temptation to settle before that. So there you have it. The steps to fixing your man picker: take control of how you fall in love, learn what a safe and healthy relationship looks like, heal your childhood emotional imprint, and finally, never, ever, 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 never settle. These are the keys to fixing your man picker, keeping yourself safe while you date, and choosing a man that you can trust with the crown jewels that are you. All right, my ladies, I hope this has been helpful for you. I really appreciate your time and attention. If you are looking to date again and get married, I want you to go to my website and download my 8 video series, Finding Your Soulmate in 180 Days. You can just sign up on the website and it will deliver all 8 emails into your email box. And you can book a free consultation call with me so that we can take all of these concepts and apply them to your situation. So just go to sadecurry.com, S-A-D-E-C-U-R-R-Y. .com, and I will see you inside.
Thanks for listening today. If you are ready to get married after divorce, I want to invite you to download my free 8 video training specifically designed to help divorced women date with ease and get married again. Head over to sadecurry.com to get started. That's sadecurry.com. I'll see you inside.